This podcast was recorded Thursday, January 14th at 10:33 a.m. Things may have changed by the time you hear it.
Yeah, like someone will get some air mattresses for those National Guard troops sleeping on the hard marble floors of the Capitol.
What a sight to see our Capitol basically a war zone. Let's talk politics. This is Snollygoster, WOSU Public Media's weekly look at Ohio politics and those Snollygosters who all use the same phrases to explain their decisions. I'm Steve Brown.
And I'm Mike Thompson. This week, phrases were clear and present danger and snap impeachment, depending on how you voted on President Trump's impeachment.
Yeah, it was certainly a sight to see a very quick impeachment, basically one day of actual official proceedings on Wednesday. Snap impeachment, had never heard that before, but
we heard it over and over again. Yeah, it was pretty incredible. I mean, I know they first wanted, you know, Vice President Pence to invoke the 25th Amendment, which would have not immediately removed President Trump from power, but stripped him of his powers until, you know, Biden takes over.
Assuming the cabinet went along.
Yeah. And but now they went right to impeachment, and it was a pretty dramatic day. You mentioned the National Guard troops on the floors of the Capitol, the Congress people having to walk through, you know, metal detectors, and then incredible rhetoric on the floor of the House. It was an incredible day.
Yeah, let's get to some of that. Ohio's 16 members of Congress largely voted with their parties. All four Democrats voted to impeach the president for a second time. Joyce Beatty of suburban Columbus also chairs the Legislative Black Caucus.
Last week's insurrection was shocking and tragic. It was a culmination of 4 years of assaults on our democracy. We must impeach this president.
Most Ohio Republicans voted against impeachment, but their enthusiasm for the president differed. Of course, Jim Jordan remains all in.
Democrats can raise bail for rioters and looters this summer, but somehow when Republicans condemn all the violence this summer, the violence last week, somehow we're wrong.
Jim Jordan also sticking to false claims of a rigged election, stoking and sowing these seeds of doubt that he's been sowing in about the results of last November's election since November. Steve Chabot of Cincinnati complained about a lack of due process, and he also used that phrase that we alluded to earlier, a snap impeachment.
Today, a dangerous precedent is being set that could lead to the normalization of snap impeachments without any hearings or any meaningful discussion or debate.
There was that phrase, snap impeachment. Steve Stivers from Central Ohio, who last week hinted that he might support impeachment, in the end voted no, releasing a statement calling President Trump's actions, quote, unacceptable and contributed to what will be remembered as one of the darkest days in our nation's history. Make no mistake, he must be held accountable. But Stivers said this, quote, snap impeachment process sets a frightening precedent.
There was one Republican congressman who voted to impeach the president. Anthony Gonzalez from Northeast Ohio said in a statement that the president of the United States helped organize and incite a mob that attacked the United States Congress that resulted in the deaths of five people. Gonzalez's statement goes on to say, when I consider the full scope of events leading up to January 6th, including the president's lack of response as the United States Capitol was under attack, I am compelled to support impeachment. Bit of a surprise there.
Yeah, no, I don't think there's really any surprise with Gonzalez's vote. He said initially that he was open to this idea, as did Stivers.
So did Stivers.
Right. I guess it's, I hear you. I don't know if it's more surprising that Gonzalez stayed the impeachment course or if Stivers diverted.
Stivers and Chabot have a point. This was a very quick process. I do think they have a point. But here's the way I look at it. An impeachment, granted, it's a very serious thing. You're trying to undo the will of the voters, even if there's only a week left in a president's term. And that's what you're doing with an impeachment and removal. But an impeachment basically amounts to an indictment. And to get indicted for a crime, you have to find probable cause that the jury might find, there's good cause that the jury might find this person guilty. I think there's probable cause that Donald Trump incited the demonstrators to to attack the Capitol last week. Is he guilty beyond a reasonable doubt? We don't know. That's what the Senate is for. So I'm not sure you needed a whole lot of congressional hearings to develop probable cause for an impeachment. But I can understand the Congress people saying this was too fast, and it's only a week left.
Yeah, hey, we'll get to that right here in just a second. It's very unlikely the Senate at this point will hold a trial on this impeachment before the president leaves office, but they can hold one after he's out of the White House. And if convicted, Trump would be precluded from ever holding office again. Ohio's Democratic U.S. Senator Sherrod Brown wants Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell to act as quickly as possible. And he did talk about that condensed timeline.
I'm not a lawyer, but the trial can be done in 2 or 3 days. It's not complicated. The evidence is out there. We've seen the president's speeches.
So, Mike, Sherrod Brown doesn't really think the timeline is an obstacle.
No, but let's face it. That's really unrealistic to have a trial, because a trial you do have, you do have evidence, you do have a defense. There has to be some kind of process, and it really, frankly, it would be a show trial if they were to hold a trial between now and inauguration day. The Constitution allows for a trial after a person has left office, because someone could game the system and do something really bad right before they leave office and not be held accountable. And that's what the Constitution made amends for. And if he's convicted by the Senate, then he won't be able to hold office again. He won't have some of the perks that ex-presidents have, like Secret Service protection and things like that. And don't forget, Mitch McConnell is not going to be the majority leader for too much longer. Mm-hmm. He will be the Republican leader, the minority leader, with the seating of the two senators elect from Georgia. That will happen likely before the trial happens. So it'll be up to Democrats to run this show after Biden takes office.
Yeah, Mitch McConnell reportedly is open to convicting the president, but again, it looks like he won't reconvene the Senate until after January 20th. Ohio's Republican U.S. Senator Rob Portman, no surprise here, he is squarely and firmly on the fence.
On the fence. His statement: the attack on the U.S. Capitol was an attack on democracy itself, and the president bears some responsibility for what occurred. Some responsibility, says Portman. If the Senate proceeds with an impeachment trial, I will do my duty as a juror and listen to the cases presented by both sides. Among my considerations will be what is best to help heal our country rather than deepen our divisions. Right there on the fence.
Did Rob Portman play college football? Because he really would have been a great option quarterback.
Yeah. Is he going to hand it off? Is he going to throw it? Is he just going to run headlong into the defensive line? I don't see Rob Portman doing that.
we always talk about Portman when he actually takes a strong stand of some sort. I mean, there's a little meat on the bone here. He says that he will do his duty as a juror. I guess that's what a juror should do, right? They should be open-minded. We want politicians to be very decisive going into things like this, right? We don't want to hear things like open-minded. But, yeah, Rob Portman.
I can't blame him. I mean,
he's in a tough position. He could face a possible primary. It's going to be a while, but, I mean, he's a moderate. He's a moderate in name only, I guess, right? We think of him as a moderate because he's very chill. He's very not very dramatic person. Yeah. But he does largely side with the president.
Yeah, he's not a bomb thrower, and we'll see what happens. I think that Mitch McConnell, I think, holds a lot of sway. If he votes to remove, I think that gives senators cover, should they want to, Republican senators, should they want to vote to, quote, remove or convict President Trump, who will be then former President Trump. I still think it's going to be hard to get 17 senators to do that. I think it's probably unlikely, but we're going to have something to talk about in February.
We certainly will. Now, turning now to our Snollygoster of the Week award. It's the award, the honor, the designation that we give to the shrewdest politician or political move of the week.
Yes, we're going to give it to brand new Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia. She subscribes to many QAnon conspiracy theories. This week, she wore a face mask with the word censored in large type as she spoke to Congress in front of millions of Americans watching on TV. She was censored.
Very censored, it sounds like. A day before that, she wore a mask that read, Malone Lave, that's Greek for come and take them. It's a favorite slogan of far-right activists and gun rights groups. She also announced that she will file articles of impeachment against Joe Biden the day he takes office. She says impeaching Joe Biden will prevent future violence at the Capitol. Well, good luck, Marjorie Taylor Greene, because you will be doing that in a democratically controlled House, and that will certainly go nowhere.
Yeah. Whatever. Snollygoster week. Gotta give it to her.
Marjorie Taylor Greene, you are our award winner this week, so congratulations to you. If you have a suggestion for next week, you can email us at snollygoster@wosu.org. Also, be sure to leave us a good review on iTunes, tell your friends about us, whatever it is, help get the word out about Snollygoster. We're always looking for new listeners. For our audio producer, Eric French, our student producer, Jack Long, and our web producer, Michael DeBotis, I'm Steve Brown.
And I'm Mike Thompson from WOSU Public Media.